we're going to continue in our series today. Something I said about the Cowboys, he disappeared, huh? He's setting up tables. We're going to continue in our series on Armed and Dangerous. We're talking about the armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, we are told that if we are going to, salvation is great, Christ has redeemed us, but though we live in a we live saved and in God's redemption, we still live in a sin world. Amen? Okay. So he says, in this world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So he's telling us you're still going to have battles, but here's the good news. He says, I've got this armor. I've got these weapons. I've got, and it's not so much about the physical, it's about the spiritual. When you go through a physical situation, when you're going through a battle, a temptation, whatever the scenario is, yes, it is physically and tangibly maybe in your face, but it started in the spiritual. And if you try to address the spiritual with your physical means, you'll lose every time. And if you try to address the physical with the physical, you'll just wear yourself out. And so we are talking about going back to the spiritual. So first week we talked about why should I want the armor? The next week we talked about the belt of truth. We talked about the fact that it's about not just knowing what is true, it's about walking in truth. It's something that we have at all times. We talked about last week the breastplate of righteousness and that we are now living out of righteousness based on the truth that we know. And then today I want to talk to you about the feet of peace. In other words, I'm going to ask you today, what kind of shoes do you have on? Now, obviously, I'm not talking about the physical shoes right now, but if you'll remember, there's six pieces, and he said the first three you're supposed to have at all times. The other three you pick up as you need. Truth, righteousness, peace. Let that be your MO. Let that be the way that you roll. Let that be the way that you live life. Now, I didn't say be perfect. I said just let that be where you live life. And then the other three you pick up as you need when you're going through a battle, and we'll get to those in the next few weeks. So we get to the place where in life we can still experience frustration, we can still experience anger and irritation, but a lot of times we get there either because of choices we made that were poor choices, and there's just results or consequences because of them, or maybe we feel like we made the right choice, but yet we meet this resistance, and we meet these spiritual battles, and a lot of times we forget what the primary location is. When somebody's mad at you, yelling at you, or you're irritated with them, or your supervisor is just, you know, driving you bananas, or you're the supervisor, you know, whatever it is, we tend to just look at people and say, they got a problem, or they are my problem, not realizing that what we're going through, you and I as children of God, are everything's located in heavenly places, the Bible says, in the spiritual realm. But we're used to dealing with life by the five senses, right? What we can see, what we can feel, touch, you know, what we can smell, what we can hear. We are so used to operating in that realm. So the problem is we're used to operating in the realm of the five senses, but the realm of the spirit to us sometimes seems, it seems untouchable. It seems spiritual. I mean, it is. I don't want to use the word sci-fi, but we're like, you know, it's this God stuff that's out there. But the reality is that's our primary location. But we lean onto the five senses a lot. And what Paul wants to do in Ephesians chapter 6 is tell you and me that he wants us to understand that we don't have to leave what Christ did to deal with whatever it is we face. We don't have to move apart from Christ to deal with our things. We move with Christ through all of this. And he says, and he gives us the armor of God. We went over the belt, we went over the righteousness, and then today he brings us to this verse in verse 15 and says, now, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's the verse I'm going to focus on today. I'm going to jump around a couple, but in your bulletin, you have an outline that you can follow along with me. You'll see I've only got two blanks that we're going to get to. I got a number of verses. I might not get to the last two, but if I don't, you can read them later when you go home, okay? Because it's just going to show you more about the peace of God and what that means. But I do want to say before I get too deep into it, if you're here and you're our guest, first time, been a while, we'd love to get to know you. You can tear off that little paper there. You can take it over to the coffee shop in between the buildings. If you have a prayer request, Write it down there. Drop it in the offering plates and know that we'll be praying for you this week as well. Those of you joining us online, feel free to jump in the chat box or to say, hey, I got a prayer request. Let us know. We'll be praying for you. Now, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. If you're like me, when I first read it, I'm like, what is shod? You know? And what do you mean, preparation of? What is this all? How does this play out? He comes to this verse and he wants to talk today. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you and me today about the shoes that we put on. He moves from the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, to the shoes. And the day of this is more so than ever the day of shoes. There's shoes for everything. I mean, think about it. You go to the store, there are shoes for everything. There are dress shoes, there are casual shoes, athletic shoes, funny-looking shoes with the toes in them. You've got, you know, Crocs, you've got sandals, you've got flip-flops, you've got Birks, you've got all these so many different kind of shoes that you can have. But ladies, if I were to look into your closet, how many shoes y'all have in there? You know, I know we pick on the ladies, but there's some guys that have a lot of shoes too. But, and since I don't want to pick on you guys, I'll just pick on us. I give my wife a hard time because I slowly am getting pushed out of the closet. It's a gradual thing. It doesn't happen real fast. Just another pair or two get spread out. And then somehow I get inched over. We have a guest room that has another closet, and I decided I'm going to go hang up some of my stuff in there. It's just stuff that I do for like the chaplaincy. I'll just hang my vest and my coat and the belt and all that stuff. I'll put it in there. I noticed that it is now pushed way into the back corner and it has been overtaken. And I was like, when did this happen? And these shoes, where did they come from? And so I like to give my wife a hard time, and she knows I'm just, you know, just giving her a hard time. But I'm the kind of guy that, you know, buy me 3 or 4 pair of shoes and I'm good. I'll wear them out. I just wear them till they literally, you know, are falling apart. Now, that's not necessarily good. I'm not saying, you know, I'm so great. Lisa's not. I'm saying that it's probably not that great for my feet or my legs or my back. They say get good shoes and you know, wear them for X amount of time and all that, because then the cushion wears out and it affects your whole walk. And now we've got Paul here saying, when it comes to the armor of God, he says, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Why? Because he says it's not about how many shoes you have, how pretty they are or are not. It's about, are you wearing the right shoe when you face spiritual battles? So, having your feet shod with the gospel of peace. Shod just simply means, it's their way of saying, it means what you have on, okay? And preparation, I love that word. If you were to go look what that word means in the Greek and the understanding, write this down. There's just that first blank. It means readiness. It means readiness. So in other words, he's saying, if you put on the right shoes and wear them all the time, you will be ready for the devil if you have the right shoes on. You will be ready for his attacks if you're wearing the right shoes. I bought some tennis shoes last year. I bought some really nice running shoes. Now, don't be fooled. I'm not going to go running unless a dog's chasing me or something, okay? You know, but they were called, I think they're called Hoka 1-1 or something like that. You know, and I just thought it was a weird name, but they're supposed to be really good, very cushiony, soft. They're supposed to support you real good, and I like them. I love them. When I walk, I feel like I bounce, kind of float on a cloud. You know, I'm like, I kind of like this. My back does feel better. I don't wear them very often because I'm just a creature of habit. I keep wearing the same shoes, but when I put them on, I feel so much better. But guess what? No matter how much money you spent on them or how good they make you feel, when it comes to the attack of the enemy, if you don't have the right shoes on, the gospel of peace, then you're going to miss everything about it. You know, my tennis shoes, you know, what am I going to do, run from an attack? No, it always seems to find you, doesn't it? You ever try to ignore a battle that comes your way? You try to ignore a situation. It waits for you. It's there. And so he says, you and I must make sure to have truth, righteousness, and then we must be ready by having feet of peace. And if your feet are shod, you will be ready and prepared to deal with the enemy. But you've got to have your shoes on. You've got to have your shoes on. So to understand why he's saying this, you have to understand Roman soldiers. They had what football players would be kind of like an equivalent on their feet. It would be the cleats. Football players wear cleats on their shoes because they know that that will give them better traction. So when they're running and they have to go to the left or they have to go to the right, that those cleats will dig in and will give them sure-footedness so they can shuck and jive just like all the Dallas Cowboy, you know, players do and get touchdowns all the time, right? Right? Okay, I'm trying. I'm working it here, okay? It's no different than a golfer who wears shoes that have some kind of a cleat or some kind of a spike in there. Why do they do that? They're not running all around. No, but when they're swinging, they don't want to be slipping on the grass. They want to have sure-footedness. When it comes to your walk with Christ, he says, you want to make sure, I want to make sure that we have sure-footedness. How do you do that? He says, it's the gospel of peace. It always comes back to the word of God, because if you don't have sure-footedness, then you can slip, you can drift, you can fall. You can get knocked down easily. When winter rolls around here and the ice is out there, have you ever gotten out of the car and slipped or fell? I had one time when I walked out to the driveway and slipped, and our driveway sloped down, and I couldn't stop. So I was basically ice skating down the driveway, hoping not to fall. It did not work. I fell. And it hurt because I didn't have sure-footedness. You know what it means to be sure-footed? You know, you get ready, and I'm prepared. Now, Seth, my son, him and I, we loved to wrestle, okay, since he was a little boy. And it was much easier when he was a little boy. I can still take him. I think he can take me. I just think he's not sure if he should, you know. But I think if he wanted to, he really could. So if you're watching, buddy, go for it. But even to this day now, at his size and his height, he'll come in and I'll be like, hey, buddy, how you doing? We'll hug each other. I love you. And then he'll walk by and I'll shove him into the couch. Or, you know, he'll be like, oh, he'll get up, you know, and we'll go at it. He'll shove me, I'll shove him, and mom will be like, would you guys quit it? And she knows we're not going to. So the fact that it irritates her is just like a bonus right there. You know what I mean? And but it's kind of our love language, if you will. We pound on each other. We wrestle, and we do all this stuff. So I remember, though, when he was a little boy, just, you know, little guy, seven years old, 8 years old, nine, I'm not really sure, just little guy. And he'd come up, and you know, he'd walk by with all his might, and wham, and he'd try to push me in that, and he, you know, we'd wrestle around, but he really couldn't push me too far because I'm bigger, right? So it's harder to push me around. But there was one day when I wasn't prepared, and I, you know how when you're just standing there and sometimes you just kind of rock back and forth, and you know, you're not thinking about nothing, and I happened to kind of not have my footing good, and I was just relaxing, and he came along, wham, hits me, and I fell over and went to the ground. His face was like, I just broke my dad. And he couldn't believe he knocked me over. I couldn't believe he knocked me over. But it wasn't because I wasn't strong enough or big enough. I was at that point. But my footing was, I wasn't prepared. My feet were unstable. And I was just kind of goofing off, you know, just in my own world. Bam, that's when he hit me. And that's exactly what the enemy does to you and me. He waits for us to just get at that place where we're just in our own little world and we're just, you know, la, 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 la. And bam, he'll come and he'll try to clock us and get us off our feet. And we end up in these trials and we end up in these situations. So that's why God says, in this world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And when you face these trials and tribulations, what you need to do is put your armor on. Put on the belt of truth first. It starts there. Because if you build on the wrong truth, nothing else is going to matter. So you start with his truth, then righteousness. And that's doing the right thing based on the truth that you got from the word of God. And then he says, then put on your feet of peace. Nikes aren't going to do it. Reeboks aren't going to do it. You can run in them, but you can't fight. He says, you put on the feet of peace. And that comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, the enemy knows this. He knows that if your feet are secure and you're standing firm in truth, righteousness, and peace, the enemy can't touch that. He can't mess with that at all. I wish I could tell you right now that when you gave your heart to Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, that you will never be under attack again, but that would be a lie. That would be a lie. Because the truth is when you become a Christian, sometimes the enemy pays a little more attention to you now. You know, he doesn't mind. He didn't mind when I knew about it. I grew up in a pastor's house, a Christian home. I went to Christian school. Didn't make me a Christian. You guys have heard me preach before. You definitely know it didn't make me a Christian. So the enemy doesn't mind, and he didn't mind when I was separated. I knew who God was. I knew God's good. I knew he loved me. I knew church was important. It wasn't for me. I was like, hey, whatever. And since I was over here, the enemy's kind of like, you know, I don't have to worry too much about him because he's kind of self-destructing over there anyway. But when I gave my heart to Jesus, like for reals, you know what I mean? For real, all of a sudden he went, uh-oh. He said, No, hold on. He's getting closer to Jesus. Now all of a sudden, it's almost like more attacks started to come. And I thought, why be a Christian? If I back off, there won't be any attacks. Yes, there will. You just don't care or don't see at that time. But when you give your heart to Christ, there, sometimes, like I said, I wish I could tell you there would never be an attack, but there's going to be. And sometimes it feels like you got a bullseye painted on your chest and the enemy's just coming in. You see, here's the reality. Satan knows now that you're saved, now that you're leaning into Christ. He knows he cannot take away your salvation, but he can try to make you a miserable Christian, and he'll do what he can. The purpose of his attacks is because he can't take your salvation away from you, but he'll keep on trying to work at that. He can't kick you out of heaven when you are saved and you've given your heart to Jesus, but he can do his best to bring hell on this earth and in your life, to keep you from experiencing the promises of God. So that's his goal in spiritual warfare, to keep you in defeat, to keep me in defeat, and to keep us playing defense and never going on the offense. Now, when I say that, I'm not saying you and I should throw down and bring it on. Don't get cocky with it. The enemy's real. But what he's saying is this. We were not designed to live in a life of defeat. We were not created so that we could cower the rest of our life. He says, you have been given the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. How do I walk in that? You put on the armor of God. You walk in truth, in righteousness, and in peace. And he says, these are the shoes that I want you to wear while you're under attack. It's the gospel of peace. So let's talk about peace for just a minute. The opposite of peace would be living a life of anxiety. It would be living a life of worry. And if you don't know what peace is, and you live in an anxious life or one of worry, that's the opposite of what peace really is. Here's the biblical definition of peace. It's calm and tranquility of the soul in the midst of a difficult situation. It's just simply peace and calm, tranquility, despite what it is that you are going through. Are you here today? Don't raise your hand or feel like you need to say amen, but you're going through a dark place. You're going through some chaos. You're going through some turmoil. He wants you to know today that though he may not erase all that turmoil, he'll give you what you need to walk in the middle of it, untouched and unscathed, because of the peace of God. Starts with his truth, though, then his righteousness, and then the peace. There's two painters that were in competition. They had the two painters paint a picture of peace. Say that 10 times real fast. And the first guy started to paint. And so he painted a picture of a lake and a sun. He had glistening water, and there was a waterfall that was just kind of pouring down, and a shepherd was walking along the stream, and it was just a very pretty, pretty picture. There was trees on one side. There was birds that were flying through the sky so that everything looked beautiful, and it was just a picture of calm. It was just a picture of tranquility. It was just a picture of peace, is what it was. Well, then the second person painted their picture, and here's what they painted. They painted the sky very black. They had lightning that was coming down, and though you couldn't hear it, you could almost feel the thunder coming off of that painting. The waves were billowing, boats were tossed, trees were blowing. It was just a portrait of disaster. But in the corner, all of the way at the bottom on the left-hand side of the portrait, a little bird was standing on a rock with its mouth open, and it was singing a song. There was a song coming out of the mouth of the bird, and one little light was coming down out of the darkness and shining on the bird as it sung in the middle of the darkness. It was the second painter that won the contest. You see, biblical peace isn't when nothing's wrong, I'm calm. Not the way it works. When nothing's wrong, you're supposed to be calm, aren't you? Yeah, when nothing's going on and peace is all around you, you should be calm. Something's wrong with you if nothing's wrong and you're worried, you know? If nothing's wrong and you're anxious, then there's issues that maybe you need to look at, because biblical peace is when everything is wrong, chaos is ensuing, nothing seems right, but you're still singing a song. Everything seems dark. It seems like every door's shut. It seems like nobody likes me. I don't know if I'm ever going to get that job. I don't know what the next day is going to hold. But somehow I just know and have faith that God is in control, and I'm at complete peace with that. That's biblical peace right there. You see, the peace that most of us are looking for is wanting everybody else to change so we can remain right where we're at and feel good and comfortable and not have to move. Or maybe our definition of peace is that everything goes my way so nobody has to disagree with me and then I'll be at peace. How's that working out for you? It doesn't work very good that way. Peace is when you're going through the storms of life, but yet you're the little bird standing on the rock and you're singing a song and there's a little light shining on you that lets you know it's going to be okay. Everything is going to be all right. The only way that you know you have biblical peace as opposed to peace that everyone else has when things are going okay is because when all hell breaks loose, you're still singing. You see, you don't know if you have biblical peace until things are not peaceful. Think about that. You don't know. The Bible calls that kind of a peace that surpasses all understanding. Philippians chapter 4. He says, the peace that God gives is a peace that you don't understand. I don't understand. And the reason we don't understand is because based on the situation, we shouldn't be peaceful right now, but we are. Why am I at peace when chaos is surrounding me? Why do I have a song when everything seems dark? It's the peace of God. Even though I don't understand right now, nobody else understands why I'm calm right now. My world is just being rocked. I don't get it. It's the peace of God. Nobody else understands why when I lost my job, I didn't lose my mind. It's the peace of God. Nobody else understands why though there's no money in the bank, I'm still praising the Lord for his provisions. That's the peace of God. Nobody else understands why though the doc gave me a bad report, I'm still blessing the Lord with my heart and with my soul. That's the peace of God. And if you're here today and you said, I'd love to get to that place, then you put on, it's a choice that you make. If you wait for things to be peaceful in your life to finally say, I've now arrived, you're going to wait a long time. Did you know you can choose it? You know, I'm choosing peace today. That's why he says you put on, you take it. If you were we did this when I was a kid, so I don't know where it all started, but and some people, do you remember praying through the armor of God, and maybe you did it yourself where you physically were doing it, Jesus, today I put on the belt of truth, and you just kind of wrapped your hands around you, and I take up the breastplate of righteousness, and I ask that you guard my heart. Father, I take the helmet of salvation and ask that you, did anyone ever do that? You know, and I'm not saying that you have to go home and start doing that. How did he do that? Didn't he do something like this? And I forget, you know. It's not about your movements and how you do it. It's about coming into the presence of God and saying, I choose truth, righteousness, and peace. And Father, I ask today, since I now choose peace, that you'd help me walk in it with everybody that passes my path, with everyone I run into. Will you ever mess up? Yeah, you will. But you just get right back on. You let the peace of God be the one that gives you direction. Here, Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Let's read that one on the bottom. Ready? Go. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Now, here's what I love about this verse. You know, sometimes I like to just kind of dig a little deeper, find out what certain words mean. And when I read that, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, the Greek word or meaning for the word rule is the same word. That word is the same word that's used for umpire. Okay, and what does an umpire do? Well, an umpire calls the game, right? Am I right? Okay, so what the umpire says goes. Here's one of the things I love about basketball and football. Especially those two. Because football players, they could be, you know, coming in at, you know, 6'7", 320 pounds, you know, the defensive line, they got the pads and the helmets, and they'll be crushing each other. But then there'll be this one little guy that has some, like, capri pants on and a black and white striped shirt with a baseball cap and a whistle. And he can stop that whole game. All those guys that are 10 times bigger than him, he'll hit that whistle, he'll call a foul on somebody, and whether that player agrees with him or not does not matter because he's the umpire. He's the one that calls the game. I've seen games where basketball games, a foul's called, and these big basketball players turn to the scrawny ref or umpire, and they start coming at him. What do you mean? And all of a sudden, you would think he would cower. You would think he'd be scared, but he's not. You know why? Because he's the umpire. He calls the game. You push him hard enough, he'll kick you out of the game and send you to the locker room. And they don't like that. This is the same word when he says, let the peace of God umpire your heart. Let it umpire your heart. How do I do that? You start with truth, you go to righteousness, and then you let the peace of God be that which... Let the peace of God make the call in your life. Sometimes we get stuck doing stupid things and making poor choices because we didn't start with truth and we didn't know about righteousness, but it's here at the feet of peace where you get moving forward. Let that umpire you. There's things I want to do that I should not do, and the only reason I don't do them is because I'm letting the peace of God rule my heart. Same as you. Same as you. And there's times that I need to do something and I don't want to do it, but I do it anyway. Why? Because I'm letting the peace of God umpire my heart and direct it. That's how you grow. That's how you get through the battle. Because the enemy knows this. If you don't have truth, righteousness, or peace, you are dead meat. He's got you. And so he'll do everything he can to separate you from God. You know, sometimes all the facts... The Holy Spirit will always speak to us, by the way, and sometimes we can have all the facts and all the information. Let's say you're going to buy a house, buy a car, choosing to go to college, choosing who to marry, whatever. And you're like, yeah, I think we get along. I think this is a good purchase. You know, I feel good about it. You seek counsel from others. They say, yeah, it'd be great. You talk to the bank. The bank says, two thumbs up. You know, this is good. Go ahead, buy it. Or maybe you talked with your family. You know, I want to marry them. Yeah, well, we think it's great. You know, you prayed about it. God, you even at one point felt like, okay, now God, what do you have to say about it? Everything looks good. Everything lines up. But then all of a sudden, there's that little check in your heart. Where you're just like, I can do it. I can have it. I can buy it. But there's just something that goes, it's the Holy Spirit. See, even the peace of God in those moments will speak to you so you know what it is that you need to do next, what step it is that you need to take next. But you've got to be wearing your shoes. You've got to wear your shoes. If worry is your normal way of operating, if it's your MO, if anxiety is how you roll in life, you're not wearing the right shoes. And I don't say that in a way to like, you know, well, you don't have to be so harsh about it. I'm not. I'm just saying that it's not the right shoes. And you can do something about it. You can do something about it, but you got to put the right shoes on. Don't leave home without your shoes. Our kids, when they would leave, I've got sensitive feet, okay? So I'm like, other people can like walk on gravel barefoot. I'd be screaming and hollering, you know? My feet are sensitive like that. I'm just a big baby about it. I'll admit it. I don't mind. You know, I'll be walking barefoot through the house, and I can just step on a dog toy or something and be like, oh, there. You know, I'm so dramatic about it because it hurt. I want my shoes on because they'll protect me. Our kids, when they would go out of the house, we'd always tell them, put your shoes on. I don't want to wear my shoes. You know, kids just wanted to run out. But we tell them to put their shoes on. The reason I would do it is because I'm thinking, what if you step on something metal? What if you step on a nail? What if you, you know, and I'm all these what ifs. Put your shoes on. God says in this world, when the enemy's coming in like a flood, he says he not only raises up a standard, but he gives us the armor of God, truth, righteousness, and peace. And he says, put your shoes on. Don't let worry be the thing that rules your life. Don't let anxiety be the thing that is calling the shots and umpiring your life. You let it be the peace of God. Now, if you're here today and you struggle with that and you're saying, that's easy for you to preach, Pastor, but I'm the one that's living it. All I'm saying is have that conversation with God. You tell him, I struggle with that. It's hard for me. I don't know how to do it because he knows you best. And he will walk you through it step by step by step, every inch of the way. You and I are created to roll with peace, not worry. Now, everybody still has moments of worry because we still live in the flesh. But I'm talking about what's your normal way that you roll. It should be peace. Here's what he says in John chapter 14, 27. Let's read this one together. You ready? Go. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Jesus is on his way to an unpeaceful situation. He's heading to the cross. He's about to be crucified. And guess what Jesus says on the way to the cross? He turns to his disciples and says, he's not going, peace. You know? He's saying, no, peace I leave with you. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world. See, the world will try to give you peace temporarily. But it cannot give you peace eternally. God's peace that he gives to you affects you here and now and in time to come. The world's peace that it has to offer only masks the pain for a little while. That's why, you know, we can try to calm ourselves by taking a pill, but a pill's gonna wear off. You can inject whatever, you can take a Prozac, you can watch entertainment, you can whatever to try to numb the pain. But he says, but my peace I give to you. So you don't have to live in that arena. The world can give you peace, but it's not going to last. His peace always will. Let the peace of God rule your heart. John 16, 33, I said it earlier, but this is where it's found. These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I've overcome the world. Now here's what I love about this verse. A lot of times we just say that second part. In this world you will... have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. But look at just prior to it. It's right before it. These things I've spoken to you, so that in me you may have what? Peace. That's his starting place. I want you to have peace. Here's the thing. He's not saying, I wish I could give it to you. He's saying, I've already paid for it. What he's saying is I wish you would receive it. Would you just let him lead you there? In this world, you'll have tribulation, but I've overcome this so that you can have my peace. We were singing earlier in worship. I don't know if you really paid attention how much we were talking about surrendering, how much we were talking about, I'm going to sing in the middle of my storm. Louder and louder, I'm going to let my praises what? Roar. We sang it. And you're going to go through storms. Maybe you just come out of one. Maybe you're in one right now. Maybe you're heading towards one, and you don't even know it yet. You and I both need to know that nothing stands more solid than the word and the work of Jesus Christ. It's about the peace of God. If you're here today and you're going through a difficult situation, would you let God change your shoes? That didn't sound very spiritual, but you know what I mean. Would you let him change your shoes? You've been walking in worry and in anxiety and depression and addiction, but if he changes my shoes and I screw up and I step in a mud puddle, he'll come clean them. Don't worry. You come to him and you say, Jesus, forgive me. I did it again. Put my shoes back on, please. And he'll do it every time. Because he is just and faithful every time. I just want to ask if you close your eyes with me as we just close this way. I don't know everybody's situation, but you know you and what you're going through. And the one that knows you better is here right now. If you're watching on TV and you're in that same place, just close your eyes with me and you go walking through a dark place. Would you just let the God of peace come and minister to you today? Father, I pray today for each and every person that's here where there is a heaviness in our hearts. Lord God, you've not designed us to walk in heaviness. You've not created us to shoulder that. You paid the price so that we could be free and free indeed. So Father, I pray today that whatever situation it is that is on our minds right now, that you would come and Lord, that you would deliver us from our own stinking thinking sometimes. The way we try to control or manage or manipulate. And Father, we ask that you would come. And Lord, just like in that painting, that picture where it's just so chaotic, will you let there be a light that shines? And will you place a song in our heart so that we can glorify and honor you. We choose that today in Jesus' name. And if you agree with that, give me an amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.